What's up, y'all? It's your girl Megan Rochelle, and I'm kicking in with the progress report. You know we making progress.
The progress report.
It's your girl Lala Shepherd checking in. This is the progress report.
Boss Britt, the most lit.
Hey, it's your girl DJ Excel.
DJ J-Star.
Okay, well, we have a very special guest tonight in the building. Go ahead and introduce yourself. Who are you?
What's up, everybody? I am Megan Rochelle, aka Meg Rock the Empress.
Okay, where are you from?
Originally, New York.
New York. What part?
Brooklyn.
Brooklyn.
Okay, that's what's up.
Brooklyn,
New York. Water. Best I do or die.
I lived in Queens for a year, so that kind of counts, you know what I mean?
Kind of
close by, just a little bit, just a tad, you know what I mean? But talk about Brooklyn, though.
Brooklyn is a very historical place for a lot of musicians. Brooklyn is where I discovered that I wanted to be a musician. Grew up singing in the church, so that pretty much molded, you know, my ability to sing. And then, you know, going to school in Brooklyn, it's like I stuck out like a sore thumb.
I bet, yeah.
It was like crazy.
Thank you.
But mad love, like one thing about it, the support, you know, from your people, it's like it's unmatched. You know, so I definitely get that hardcore Brooklyn love when you can take that and go anywhere.
For sure.
You know?
So you said it was Brooklyn where you found out that you wanted to do music. Why so?
I was going through a lot at the time, and I think that music is something that became a therapy for me. You know, my grandparents raised me, and, you know, I had some childhood issues that I was dealing with, and just trying to find myself. And I think the best outlet, the only outlet that I had was music. You know, when I would write and I would sing, and it would just be me. And, like, even in school, I would be singing up and down the hallways. People would get sick of me, like, girl, when are you gonna just be quiet? Like, you know, but I just had this hunger, you know, and I had this love and this passion for it. And it became an escape, like, in a sense.
Okay, I get that. I definitely get that. Talk about your first time recording. Do you remember that?
My first time recording, wow. I was like maybe 14. Something like that, recording in a closet. That's where
the best music comes from. The best music comes from the closet.
The closet tunes. Working with some very musical people, you know, people that play instruments like myself. I also play instruments.
Okay.
And, you know, to be surrounded around true musicians, like, that really, like I said, it just molded, it just kept nurturing my gift, you know, being amongst these folks and, you know, that energy, that synergy.
Right.
The records, I played some of the records that I did, and it's just like, oh, they're so raw. They're so raw. Like, no mix, no excess material to, you know, make that sound bigger, but you know, you grow.
Of course.
You know, you gotta take those steps. But I wouldn't trade those experiences for the world.
Who are some of the people that you grew up listening to?
I come from a soulful household, you know, of people. And Gladys Knight, Lena Horne, Marvin Gaye, Michael Jackson, Whitney Houston, the greats, you know, all the greats. I was born in 85.
Okay.
So a lot of the music, you know, back in those times was very soulful, you know, substance filled. Like I said, I started singing in church, so, you know, that kind of like, it correlates.
Right.
And this can go on and on and on and on.
For sure.
But
for sure. So talk about the church though, like how, you know, because I know that's, you know, I wanted to ask you this, like coming from the church, a lot of times they don't approve of, you know, you singing outside music, like secular music.
That's good that you asked that.
Yeah.
Because I started singing in church at the age of 6.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And that kind of like, that helped my confidence.
Right.
You know,
because okay.
that church sense. Environment is family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. so those people, they're not as hard or as critical. And then I was young.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like, they don't boo you at the Apollo.
True.
When you're a kid.
Right.
And I was on the Apollo also.
Oh.
But I guess it's just one of those things where it's like nobody knows what your journey is gonna be, you know? And I just chose to kind of broaden my horizon with music because at the time I was finding myself again. Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm young, I don't know who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, it was just this natural succession mm-hmm. of events,
mm-hmm.
really. There's no way to really explain it. It just happened.
Right.
Kind of with the secular thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just networking and, you know, meeting people. It's like, you know, back then, they didn't really have a broad spectrum for gospel.
Right.
You know, you had your set, you know, gospel artists mm-hmm. established, but you didn't really have like young, new gospel artists breaking into the industry.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, secular music was like, okay, that's where the money's at.
Right.
That's how, you know, we were all thinking back then, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
right. No, I dig it. I had to ask though. You know what I mean? I'm just always curious. So just as a female though, just talk about, you know, finding yourself and just developing confidence. Talk about your journey with that.
It's a lifelong journey. I'm still growing and figuring it out, you know. I thought I knew who I was when I was like 17, 18, you know. Getting a deal, it's like you think you know everything,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then you do those experiences, you start to realize like oh shit,
right? Yeah,
you know, and I think that becoming a mother really changed.
I didn't know that. Okay,
yeah, that really changed the scope for me. Gave me another sense of purpose, because when you're young and you don't really have a sense of direction,
mm-hmm.
things can kind of spiral out of control. And it kind of did spiral out of control. And it's like, you kind of get clouded,
mm.
you know, and then you have to, the universe, if you don't do it by will, by force, the universe
oh, yeah.
will send you something
mm-hmm.
to humble you down and make you realize that this thing is bigger than you.
Facts.
Mm-hmm. So that definitely, becoming a mother, and I love motherhood. Like motherhood is the greatest gift, mm-hmm. you know, because it's like I am not only responsible for myself, mm-hmm. but I'm responsible for somebody else now. So I really gotta be on my P's and Q's now.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's been the greatest lesson that you learned so far being a mom, indirectly or directly?
The biggest lesson. It's funny because, you know, you think you have patience,
mm-hmm.
right? And then, you know, when you have children, they show you yourself. It's like, oh damn, I don't have the patience that I thought I had. Like, okay. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. And then you have to realize, like, you have to check yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they show you you. You know, they're a mirror. So for me, it's like the biggest lesson is learning how to keep calm,
mm-hmm.
you know, and be open mm-hmm. to everything, you know, and not have this one-sided view.
And mom surprised me because there's so many times I messed up something in the house that I knew my mom was going to kill me. But for some reason, she didn't kill me. I might have got beaten or something, but in my head, I thought I was going to be dead. But like moms just kind of keep it moving. You know, like you just know as a mom, like shit's just going to happen. You just keep it moving. There's so many times I had to go to the hospital because I done did some dumb shit, and
right.
My mom would just just be there,
so
just
crazy.
Keep it moving. Yeah,
it's this innate thing. Mm-hmm. It's like, yo, you just gotta roll with it.
Yeah.
All right. So can you define what the word progress means to you? That's our name of our show, so we always like to ask people what progress means to them. Personally.
When I say progress, I break it up and I say progress because you proceed and you progress, you know, proceed like proceed.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you sow this seed and then it starts to blossom.
True. Good point. Yeah. Okay. Well, let's talk about this music though. Now we know you and Fab had a banger. You and Fab had a banger that was 05, right?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So talk about that. You know, just that, how did that come about? The feeling that
it's so crazy.
You know,
like, just life is just funny, man. It's just one of those things. I would not have thought in a million years, me being from Brooklyn, that I would share a record with like a Brooklyn champ.
Crazy.
You know what I'm saying? And it was just like, because we cut the record and I did a little research on y'all.
Uh-oh.
And I saw that Black was in here.
Yes.
And Shamari Fears is actually the first voice that I heard on The One You Need.
Wow.
I'm the DJ.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
See?
That is crazy though.
And it blew me away. I was like, whoa, like this record is huge. So I cut the record, and it was one of those situations where they just sent it off.
Mm.
And when it came back, Fab was on it. I was like, wait a minute. Wow. Mm-hmm. You know, when he shouted me out, gave me the M Rizzo, and I'm like, okay, I like that. That's and, you know, we shot a video for it in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just crazy. Like, that whole era, like it was just like, man, so many magical things, so many magical things were happening. It was like, man.
I mean, talk about just, you know, let me see, what can I ask? Maybe just like maybe a show, like a setting at a show, like just, you know, you and other artists around that time, like how did that feel? Like how was the energy in the building before cell phones, you know what I mean? Like, I know people was probably
heavy.
Way more engaged.
It was
and,
heavy.
Yeah.
It was so heavy. I remember doing a Black College tour with Bobby Valentino and Sharifa.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, yo, like, the energy and, you know, the engagement from everybody. It was just, like, it was crazy, like.
And people were interactive, where now it's like, it blow my mind because you're recording everything just for other people to see, but you're not really living it.
Fully
you know?
Engaged.
But that
in
energy.
In the moment.
In the moment, yeah.
In the moment. Present in the moment.
Absolutely. Very important.
Most
and it's
definitely.
So hard, though. It's hard to. Sometimes, you know, I tell myself that it's like, man, I want to put my phone down. And it's like, damn, I want to capture this moment. But it's
didn't you
like
say
that.
You had a story to tell? Was this When he approached you, you said you had a story to tell?
So
about
many.
The Fabulous song, I think.
You were saying you had a story to tell about the Fabulous. I'm not sure what you were saying.
So,
to
I mean, it's man, this journey is lifelong.
So, can you speak about a little bit after the Fab song? And
yes.
Like,
the Fab song, The One You Need, evolved into Floating, which was my second single, Neo wrote.
Dope.
And
Neo.
Yeah, that evolved into Let Go,
mm-hmm.
which was written by Sean Garrett.
Mm.
Hey,
Chubba Palmer.
Ah!
He's
a
cool person. And that was it. Like, that Let Go was pretty much like a subliminal to me letting go of the label. You know, and it was so crazy because, you know, I went overseas and I saw the reaction from the people over there versus the people in America, and I'm just like,
what was it? What was the difference?
Man, it was 10 times, like it was amplified. I mean, like everybody's singing the lyrics, and
they might not even know English.
They love and it was crazy. Yeah. Like, I just felt like, all this for me? Yeah.
That's like a real expression you just did. You see it in your eyes, like, for real.
Do you still work with Dark Child?
No. We work on a different kind of level now. You know, it's kind of like, you know, I send him records to kind of get his approval, you know, type stuff. But I do see us doing a project in the near future. It is in the works. And I mean, you know, when you make those kind of connections, they don't.
Oh, nah, for
they
sure.
Don't disappear.
And it's about timing too, you know what I mean? Sometimes, you know, Erykah Badu said this one time, they was asking her, why don't you put out, you know, an album more often? And she was like, nah, it ain't like that. You gotta go off the vibe, and it's the
not
time
every
for
artist
things.
Is, you know, I thought I was extroverted.
I'm the same way. I just found out I'm an introvert too.
And then I started evolving, and you know, I realized that I'm really kind of shy.
Right. Yeah.
I am, and sometimes it's like, oh, if they announce my name before I go on stage, it's like,
that's interesting that you said though.
It's like I want to be on stage first and start singing, and then turn on the lights. It's a lot to deal with. It's a lot to deal with because I don't know if you ever saw the interview with Lauryn Hill when she was younger and she spoke at this school.
Yeah, I know you're talking about.
Like the depth of that. Like I felt her so much because I felt me, you know? And I was just like, okay, I don't know about all of this fame stuff. You know, it's kind of not my thing, to be honest.
I get it. I get what you're saying. It's unfortunate. It's like something so great comes with so much baggage that you don't even necessarily want to sign up for, you know? And I get it.
It's a gift and a curse.
Yeah, it's a gift and a curse for sure.
Have you heard Lauryn Hill's Unplugged album?
Heck yeah.
Like, that kind of talks a lot about how, like, you want to, like, just let go, like, with your soul and just sing from your heart, but then the whole industry fucked you over, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like I said, let go was the
it's subliminal. Right?
It's so funny how the universe works, but you know, I had to walk away. I had to walk away because I felt like I really didn't know what I was doing. On a business level.
That's real, yeah.
And it was like, you know, they wanted to shelf the project, and I was not happy with that.
Of course.
I was not happy with that because all that work.
And it's a lot of work.
You know, and all, like, the singles charted and, you know, the whole thing, and it's just like, okay, we're gonna shelf the project. And it's like, really? Okay. I gotta go.
True.
So, in saying that, how do you feel about like nowadays where you don't need a label? Do you feel like a little more freedom to do your own thing?
It's meant to be this way.
Yeah. Right.
It's meant to be this way, you know, because you know, this is for a lot of us, this is all we know. You know what I'm saying? This is all we got, and it's like for somebody to want to control it to the point where you don't have any say. It's not cool. It's input is good.
Absolutely.
You know, yeah, positive.
I get what you're saying.
You know, feedback, criticism, all of that is needed. You know, but if it's gonna modify who you are, truly,
right?
Then you gotta.
Okay. Like selling your soul a little bit.
Do you feel like if you stayed in the game, consistent in around 2005 that you would be the equivalent to Keisha, Cole?
Huh?
Maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe. And a lot of people, you know, have and do compare me to Keisha. And you know, when I see Keisha in her element,
I'm not saying that.
I'm like, wow, like she reminds me of me, like a lot.
Okay.
Yeah, just you know, been through some things, but you can't really tell because you wear it well.
As you're supposed to.
But
I'm saying because you're
in that era. It's a double-edged sword. It really is, because it's hard for me to say, because those things had to happen for me to get to this point.
Well, you were the new R&B at that time, so.
True. It was a lot of us, though. It was me. It was Tierra Marie. It was Sherry Dennis.
Yeah.
That
era
was lit.
It was lit.
Yeah.
That's a good R&B.
It was. That was my music. Was some bitch.
It was cute. It was fun.
Christina Milian was rocking.
Yeah.
It was plenty of us.
Shanti.
It's coming back too.
So, I feel a shift.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah.
I feel a shift, and I think you know it's from everybody being who they truly want to be.
Absolutely.
In the music, and not having all of these hands. Damn, fucking trying to infiltrate.
Now you can't really tell somebody how to do it because there's so many different ways. Like I work with artists right now. And she's like really big on the internet, and it's kind of hard to tell her like,
get out there
because you know you can really just blow up on the internet. So it's so many different ways to take off, you
it's
know.
So real,
which
so
is
many
dope.
Doors, mm-hmm. so many doors. That's why I love the climate, and you know, it's about building up, and also about self-preservation.
Absolutely, yeah.
Because we can go so hard, and then the steam is just
right.
You know, it's like, where's the energy? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you gotta pull back a little. You know what I'm saying? And then it's like the tortoise and the hare.
All right, so I see you got a few tattoos. So, you know, I got a
Teen lights, so, you know.
Love them.
So, talk about, you know, tattoos and its freedom of expression. What does it mean to you? Your tattoos.
All my tattoos mean something. I have my son's first and middle praying hands tatted on my hands.
Thank God
for my Austin Royal. And I got a diamond, of course, because I'm a diamond in the rough. And I think this was the latest one I got. Love Conquers All.
I was going to say yes.
I stand by this. You know, it didn't really hurt.
It
didn't really hurt, but you know, everybody's different.
Right. I saw a guy biting a belt when he was getting his tatted. Biting a belt. Like literally biting a belt, a belt that you wear.
You know, I was coming.
He was literally, it hurt that bad. He was biting a belt.
He was biting.
We got those trigger areas.
Yeah.
Like my foot.
Foot.
I heard that foot ain't no hope.
I stopped.
No hope.
I heard ain't no hope.
Brit tied it up too now.
What's up?
Word.
Once you pop, you can't stop.
Yeah, that is cool. Everybody told me, like, once you get your first one, you're going to want to keep doing
it's
it.
It's extreme. It's just like, you just can't stop. But, you know, as long as they meaningful.
I'm sleeving it up too.
Oh, word?
Okay.
Okay. I wish we could see it. Okay, that's what's up.
Lotus and lilies.
So,
you know, some last transformation, you know. Change all that good stuff. Yeah, they all over. They all over. I got two bowls on the back of my leg. Yeah, I'm out here.
Man, we definitely enjoyed having this, you know, conversation with you. We appreciate you coming through.
Yes, yes.
Appreciate y'all. For
absolutely.
Real.
So what's coming up next?
So much in the works. I'm working on an album.
Nice.
I'm also writing for some other artists. I'm acting.
So,
I mean, I'm doing a whole bunch.
You got another single too, don't you?
I do. Last year around this time, I came out with an EP called Insight. Four song, I call it a combo pack. It's like a two-piece, a biscuit, some mash on the side.
That New York came right out.
Yo, she's
and
funny.
The project is dope. I actually did put it out on iTunes, but I yanked it back because I just felt like it's not about that. Mm. You know what I'm saying? It's about putting this content out, you know, and putting more content out. You know what I'm saying? Just put it out, you know, because that's where we at with it. And the project is crazy. It features producers like Jay Reed from Chevy Music, who just did the Nicki Minaj.
Yeah, yeah.
The Coalition crew. They're also Cool Ass People. Okay. To tag them, my boys.
All
right. I got Sed L on there. He's a fire ass producer. Mm. He's done some everybody. T.I.
Word.
I mean, you name the Southern cats that
gotcha.
And it's just a overall substance filled project.
Mm.
You get a little variety. You get, you know, kind of like a trap vibe, then you kind of get like a pop vibe, you get an R&B vibe, so it's a nice little blend.
Can we see you on Love & Hip Hop?
You know, that's funny.
I can really see you on there.
Because I actually did go in for an interview.
Oh, really?
New York. They called me in.
Oh. I would have liked to see that.
Yeah,
and
me too.
I don't think at that time I fit the storyline.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But I did say to myself, if, you know, they call for me again here in the A, I'd probably consider it.
Mona, call her.
I was going to say, I'm
call her, Mona.
That's cool.
Just because I got history, you know.
Yeah,
I
would be a good addition to that.
I agree. Lot of folk, yeah, definitely. You know,
I've seen the green screen like, yo, I'm here, y'all, you know what I'm saying? You fine, you know what I'm saying? From New York, I'm in the A now.
Yeah,
doing my thing.
Heck yeah. Erica Mena, you came from New York to Atlanta.
Oh, type shit.
Nah, you can't be there. Nah, that's what's up. Okay. So, I mean, we definitely look forward to, you know, hearing more and definitely seeing
absolutely,
more and all that good stuff.